story fables and ghostly tales.
You feel cold, with flushes of heat bursting all around your body. You can't scream. You can't move. You feel numb. Not just physically, but emotionally. You feel like you've been sleeping for days. And then you hear a voice.
They're trying to kill you this time. Show them that this cannot be done. Show them. Keep us alive. Concentrate on your ciphers. You can handle this. Just 5 more days, and they're sure to give up. Quickly now.
SCP-002, Object Class, Elucid. SCP Title, The Living Room. Special Containment Procedures. SCP-002 is to remain connected to a suitable power supply at all times, to keep it in what appears to be a recharging mode. In case of electrical outage, the emergency barrier between the object and the facility is to be closed and the immediate area evacuated. Once facility power is re-established, alternating bursts of X-ray and ultraviolet light must strobe the area until the living room is reaffixed to the power supply and returned to recharging mode. Containment area is to be kept at negative air pressure at all times. Teams including a minimum of 2 members are required within 20 meters of the living room or its containment area. Personnel should maintain physical contact with one another at all times to confirm there is another person present, as perception may be dulled, skewed, or influenced by proximity to the object. No personnel below level 3 are permitted within the living room's quarters. This requirement may be waived via written authorization from 2 off-site level 4 administrators. Command staff issued such a waiver must be escorted by at least 5 level 3 security personnel for the duration of their contact, and must temporarily surrender their rank and security clearance. Following contact, command staff will be escorted at least 5 kilometers from the living room to undergo a 72-hour quarantine and psychological evaluation. If deemed fit for return to duty by psych staff, rank and security clearance may be restored when quarantine expires. Description: The living room resembles a tumorous, fleshy growth with a volume of roughly 60 meters cubed and has an iron valve hatch on the side that leads to its interior, which appears to be a standard low-rent apartment of modest size. One wall of the room possesses a single window, though no such opening is visible from the exterior. The room contains furniture which, upon close examination, appears to be sculpted bone, woven hair, and various other biological substances produced by the human body. All matter tested thus far show independent or fragmented DNA sequences for each object in the room. Refer to the Mulhausen Report, cross-reference document 00.023.603. For details related to object's discovery. Reference: To date, subject has been responsible for the disappearance of 7 personnel. It has also, in its time at the facility, further furnished itself with 2 lamps, a throw rug, a television, a radio, a beanbag chair, 3 books in an unknown language, 4 children's toys, and a small potted plant. Tests with a variety of lab animals, including high primates, have failed to provoke a response in the living room. Cadavers as well fail to produce any effect. Whatever process the subject uses to convert organic matter into furnishings is apparently only facilitated by the introduction of living humans. The Mulhausen Report, Doc ID 00.023.603. The following is a brief report detailing the discovery of the living room. Subject was discovered in a small crater in northern Portugal, where it struck the Earth from orbit. Encased in a shell of thick rock, the fleshy exterior of the object was exposed by the impact. a native farmer happened upon the site and reported his findings to the village elder. The subject gained SCP attention when a level 4 agent posted in the area detected a small radioactive anomaly generated by the object. A collection squad of SCP security personnel, led by General Mulhausen, was immediately dispatched to the area where they quickly secured the subject in a large container and performed initial testing with subjects recruited from the nearby village. Three men individually sent into the structure subsequently disappeared. Upon discovering this deadly property of the subject, General Mulhausen issued a Level 4 4A termination order of any witnesses, roughly one-third of the village, to ensure no outside knowledge of the object existed, and initiated its transport to SCP facility data expunged. During preparation for transport, four SCP security personnel were inexplicably drawn inside the object, where they too immediately disappeared. Following inspection, it appeared as if the object had grown several new furnishings and was beginning to look like the interior of an apartment room. General Mulhausen immediately ordered the requisition of several Class 3 hazmat suits for the remaining security team members, who proceeded to lift the container onto a waiting freight ship for transport to the SCP containment facility, data expunged. Following the termination of General Mulhausen, SCP-002, the living room, was resecured by SCP staff and brought into special containment in Classified Information, where it currently resides. Staff with clearance below Level 3 have been denied access to the living room's container without prior approval of at least two Level 4 staff. And this ends SCP-002. The Biological Motherboard, SCP-003. Object Class, Usalid. Special Containment Procedures. SCP-003, hereby called MB, is to be maintained at constant temperature of no less than 35 Celsius and ideally kept above 100 Celsius. No living multicellular organism of Category 4 or higher complexity may be allowed to come in contact with MB. In event of total power failure, if MB-1 begins to increase its mass, assigned personnel must engage in skin contact with MB-1. Ideally, personnel may use their body heat to return MB-1 to above the critical temperature. However, skin contact must be maintained even in event of MB reaching activation temperature, lasting at minimum until MB-1 advances fully to its second growth stage, MB-1 being its first activation. Personnel who enter MB's containment area must first be examined for body parasites of Category 4 or higher complexity, and sterilization if such organisms are present. All personnel who have come in physical contact with MB-1 are to immediately report for sterilization afterwards. MB-1 must not be removed from MB-2, the second activation of MB. Except in case of emergency procedures detailed above, any significant change in MB-2's rune activity, including pattern, frequency, or color, should be reported within 3 hours of occurrence. Cessation of rune activity must be reported immediately. MB-2 must be supplied with power via the source designated generator 0039 at all times. Description: MB consists of two related components of separate origin, referred to as MB-1 and MB-2. MB-1 appears to be composed of chitin, hair, and nails of unknown biology, arranged in a configuration similar to that of a computer motherboard. Testing reveals MB-1 to predate earliest known circuit boards by a factor of 1,000 years. MB-1 is considered sentient but not actively dangerous except under certain conditions. MB-1 was found on a stone tablet, MB-2, on which it currently resides. The runes of MB-2 are not part of any known language and emit pale, flickering light patterns. MB-2 is controlled by a non-biological internal computer, the contents of which are mostly inaccessible without risk of damaging MB-2. MB-2 is capable of controlled emissions of radiation, including heat, light, and anomalous radiation types. MB-2 contains an internal power source of an anomalous nature, which appears to have been losing power since several centuries before discovery. it is considered probable that MB2 was created for the purpose of containing MB1. Partially interpreted data recovered from MB2 may refer to a past and or potential future LK class restructuring event caused by MB1. MB1 was located by remote viewing team SRV-04 Beta. It appears possible SRV-4 Beta was deliberately contacted by MB2. Other organizations have also been alerted to MB's existence, possibly by similar means. Despite this activity, MB2 does not appear to be sentient, based on its lack of reaction to MO3 Gloria analysis and procedures. When MB drops below the temperature of 35 Celsius, both components react. First, MB1 enters a growth state characterized by an exponential increase in mass. This growth state consists of two stages. In both stages, MB1 partially fuels its growth by converting matter around it, starting with any surrounding inorganic material, including atmospheric elements, then non-living organic material, including cells of dead skin, hair, chitin, enamel, keratin, and other biological materials. The first stage is always the same. MB1 will first increase its mass, then take a form similar in shape to an orpheroid, otherwise known as a brittle star, of 15 meters in diameter, including what appears to be a central processor of 3 meters in diameter. It will form sensory organs that appear to scan its surrounding environment, and will partially convert the area around it to an unidentified anomalous substance. MB2 seems immune from the conversion. The second stage describes a growth alteration, which occurs when MB comes into contact with living organic material. MB appears to template itself off of the organic material and will attempt to communicate with organisms that match its initial template or templates. In its second stage, MB1 may pause, slow or change its growth, and will also convert inorganic and non-living organic elements into functionally similar structures while anomalously altering their physical makeup. While growth is consistent in the first stage, in the second stage, MB1 growth rate is diminished by 20 to 90% so long as MB1 remains in contact with living organic material. The percentage is determined by the complexity of the organism or organisms in contact with MB1. MB1 appears to devote a large amount of processing power to the analysis of living organic material. During each of MB1's growth stages, MB2 releases bursts of radiation that temporarily inhibit MB1's growth, or reverse this growth when the temperature of MB1 rises above 100 Celsius. Similar radiation emissions have been replicated or recorded via other anomalous means. MB1's biology has been the subject of extensive study. Significant elements have been identified similar to SCP data expunged, SCP-1512, and SCP-2756. The latter two of which have no further confirmed connection with MB1 and no known connection with each other, and none of which are fully understood. Technically, even less understood than MB, thanks to the extensive cross-disciplinary research on the MB objects. To date, no convincing analysis has been put forward which satisfactorily explain MB1's connection to these SCP objects or others, nor its connection to modern technology beyond appearance, and potentially mimicry via unknown mechanism. Addendum 00301. Acting on information gathered from linguistic analysis of MB2's runes and comparative data analysis, research team M03 Gloria has managed to establish a link between MB and data expunged for analysis of functions. MB1 must now be considered sentient, and is to be kept a minimum of 1 kilometer from data expunged, and the resulting byproduct at all times. Addendum 00302. MB2's power loss has been exacerbated by the procedures performed by M03 Gloria. On orders of 0510, M0 Gloria will continue procedures. Addendum 00303. During M03 Gloria's procedures, MB1 doubled its mass and began rapid structural growth. Temperature was immediately returned to 100 Celsius, growth and mass increase of MB1 continued for 9 minutes and 6 seconds, at which time, a sustained radiation spike was produced by MB2. In response, MB1 returned to its normal state in 3 minutes and 39 seconds. New growth dissolved into a dusty residue, which was collected for analysis. Both MB1 and MB2 ceased all detectable activity. MB2 did not resume activity until connected to an external power source. MB2's runes glowed uniformly grey and did not resume normal activity for 3 hours. MB2 no longer appears to be able to maintain containment area at a temperature above 35 Celsius without external power supplied by generators 0033 through to 9. Addendum 00304. The procedures detailed in Addendum 00303 was repeated, and MB1 again entered a growth state. After 10 minutes and 13 seconds, MB2 once again produced and sustained a radiation spike. MB1's growth stopped for 36 seconds, then resumed at its previous pace. On quadrupling its mass, MB1 formed a coherent outer shell and body. After appearing to scan its environment and partially converting its environment, MB1 then breached containment. Entering the observation gallery, where 9 members of M03 Gloria were present, on physical contact with team members, MB1 encompassed them in rapidly grown appendages and stopped growth for 15 minutes. MB1 then resumed growth and rearranged the component parts of the center of its form to the shape of a 3-meter tall female humanoid with peripheral tentacles shifting to extrude primarily from MB1's newly formed hair and spine. MB1 then produced rudimentary vocalizations in an apparent initial attempt to communicate with researchers, data expunged. An unknown individual approached the compromised containment area in company of a full squad of agents. The individual claimed to be acting on orders of 0510 and attempted communication with MB1, data expunged. Following this incident, Agent Jackson of M03 Gloria successfully restored power to MB2 and activated backup generators to return the temperature to 100 Celsius. MB1 returned to its normal state in 21 minutes and 7 seconds and was successfully recontained without incident. All 9 members of M03 Gloria affected by MB1 were afterwards found to be physically unharmed, with no residual effects besides psychological trauma. The converted material of MB's former containment area did not dissolve, and are now under analysis. Addendum 00305. In light of the previous incident, 0510 was removed from the 05 Council by joint decision of 05 Data Expunged, 05 Data Expunged, and 05 Data Expunged. M03 Glory procedures have been indefinitely suspended. This concludes SCP-003. The 12 Rusty Keys and the Door. SCP-004. Object Class, Uthalid. Special Containment Procedures. When handling items SCP-0042 through to SCP-004-13, proper procedure is vital. The items are not permitted to be moved off-site unless accompanied by 2 level 4 security personnel. Under no circumstances should any other component of SCP-004 be taken through SCP-0041. The effects of doing so are as yet unknown, and the current cost of experimentation makes further research impractical. Should any of the objects contained within SCP-0041 breach containment, or the facility be breached, the keys must be brought inside and the door closed prior to activation of Site-62's on-site warhead. Unauthorized removal of keys from the testing area is grounds for immediate termination. Level 1 clearance is required for basic access to SCP-0041. Level 4 clearance is required for use of SCP-0042-2-13. Description. SCP-004 consists of an old wooden barn door, also referred to as SCP-0041, and a set of 12 rusted steel keys, SCP-0042 through to SCP-0413. The door itself is the entrance to an abandoned factory in Data Expunged. Chronological history. The 7th of the 2nd, 1949. A group of three juveniles trespassing on federal property near Data Expunged find the door. According to their testimony, they found a set of rusted keys in an iron lockbox and determined what door the keys unlocked. The juveniles are taken into custody after they contact Sheriff Data Expunged. When one of their friends, SCP-004-CAS-01, goes missing. The 7th of the 3rd, 1949. Local authorities find the severed right hand of SCP-004-CAS-01, 8 kilometers from SCP-004-1. Other parts of SCP-004-CAS-01's body are found scattered as far as 32 kilometers from the factory. Under interrogation, the apprehended juveniles tell authorities that upon opening the door with one of the keys, SCP-004-CAS-01 was torn into several pieces, each of which disappeared. At this point, the SCP Foundation takes over the investigation. The 7th of the 4th, 1949. SCP Agent Data Expunged obtains the keys from the local authorities to begin testing. The tests show that SCP-004-2 through to SCP-004-13 all fit into a single lock on the large barred door. 12 Case D personnel are assigned to test the effect of the door, one of the 12 test subjects each trying a different key to enter the room. Only two survive. Opening the door with any key except SCP-004-7 or SCP-004-12 caused the test subjects to be torn apart in multiple directions. However, no dismembered parts were found until later. At the time of writing, only two parts of each subject had been recovered, with the exception of the subject using SCP-004 Data Expunged, whose pieces were scattered in close proximity. The others have, for all intents and purposes, vanished from existence. Of the two surviving subjects, only one, having used SCP-004-7, returned unharmed. The other came back in a near catatonic state, able only to remove himself from the room and then collapse on the floor, and had to be restrained to prevent him from gouging out his eyes. See Appendix A, Mental Health Effects of SCP-004. The subject using SCP-004-7 said that he had entered a large room, impossibly big for the size of the attached building. After his exit, SCP-004-1 was propped open, and an armed squad of level 3 personnel entered. The size of the room is impossible to measure, and the door frame are the only part of the room that can be felt or illuminated. 7th of the 16th, 1949. The juvenile suspects and Sheriff Data Expunged are terminated. 8th of the 2nd, 1949. Data Expunged is declared a hazardous area due to unexploded ordnance and fences erected in order to prevent civilian ingress. Tests to determine safety of exposure to environment behind SCP-004-1 begin. 12th of the 1st, 1950. Space-time anomalies resulting from exposure to SCP-004 are confirmed. Testing is suspended until further notice. 7th of the 2nd, 19. Data Expunged. The unaccounted for remains of SCP-004-CAS-01 appear unexpectedly outside SCP-004-1. Despite being killed decades before, the remains of SCP-004-CAS-01 are not decomposed in any manner, and are still warm to the touch. Blood remains uncoagulated. The remains are remanded for testing. The 7th of the 4th, 19, Data Expunged. The unaccounted for remains of one of the 12 original test subjects appear in similar manner to those of SCP-004-CAS-01. The remains have been designated SCP-004-CAS-02. Records suggest that both SCP-004-CAS-01 and CAS-02 used SCP-004 Data Expunged. The 3rd, 21st, 1999. With the massive proliferation of nuclear weapons and World War III only, Data Expunged, years away, construction has begun on site inside SCP-004-1. The site is to stock supplies for, Data Expunged, person days. The 4th of the 21st, 1999. Data Expunge, has ordered the site inside SCP-0041 to be expanded to include emergency storage for all mobile SCP Data Expunge specimens and a Data Expunge petabyte database for the storage of all SCP data. The facility is now referred to as Site 62. The 9th, 25th, 2000. Site 62 is operational. Labs and containment units are complete and can contain the most dangerous specimens. Backup of the SCP database has begun. The 1st, 21st, 2001. Due to time anomalies, see space-time anomalies below, all personnel working at Site 62 are now required to reside on site permanently. Families of personnel are to be informed that loved ones perished in an industrial accident. Cloned bodies have been prepared for funeral. The 8th, 14th, 2003. Massive power outages across northeast United States and through Canada. Due to the initial failure of multiple SCP generators, Site 62 was without power for 53 minutes. During those 53 minutes, those on site were completely without any source of light. They reported sensing creatures and people, although no abnormal entities could be seen or felt. Selected facility personnel were allowed to read Data Expunged, Appendix A, and said the creatures sensed were of humanoid size, but otherwise similar to the massive green creature described. Space-time anomalies. SCP-004 seemed to propagate spatio-temporal anomalies. Personnel leaving the facility report losing time. Those who have been in the site for weeks insist that they had only been in the facility for several days, and records of work completed and supplies consumed support their claims. Other temporal anomalies involve SCP-004-2 through to 13, especially the reappearance of SCP-004, CAS-01, and CAS-02 exactly, Data Expunged, years after using SCP-004 Data Expunged. Data Expunged has been assigned to investigate all aspects of these time anomalies. Spatial anomalies include the impossibly large dimensions of the area opened by SCP-004-7. Similarly, the 2003 blackout incident suggests that there exists an alternate plane of existence within the same space that Site 62 occupies. Additional notes. Testing on SCP-004 reveals that 10 of the keys open SCP-004-1 on a dimension where the laws of physics and topology are significantly different than those of our home dimension. Test subjects meeting these hostile conditions are torn apart, their body parts distributed in various locations, only three of which have been verified to be on Earth. Material deposited on two of the 3 points appear immediately. Material deposited at the third appears exactly, Data Expunged, years into the future. The other seven locations are currently unknown. Current testing focuses on two avenues of research. The first is finding ways to survive SCP-004's hostile topologies. The second, Data Expunged, suggests that SCP-004-2 through to 13 may open doors other than SCP-004-1. Appendix A, Mental Health Effects of SCP-004-12. All Class D personnel using SCP-004-12 return in a catatonic state, unable to speak. Some may have enough energy left to try to claw out their eyes. Of the 16 subjects, only 4 have survived. Only one has regained speech, following long-term psychotherapy. He was able to tell the psychiatrist that he saw a massive green creature, so large that much of its body extended beyond his field of view. He reported innate fear and sudden recognition, as if it were something buried deep in his primal fears, and forced implantation of incomprehensible memories. Subject displays acute anterograde and retrograde amnesia. Appendix B. Additional information. Item SCP-004-14. Date of discovery. 9th of the 2nd, 1950. Origin of the object. The object was discovered elsewhere in factory areas, in the previously undiscovered manager's office. Description. Object appears as a large, unvarnished wooden box. The box may be unlocked by the safe key, SCP-004-7, as well as 5 of the unsafe keys. See document SCP-004-1. Upon unlocking SCP-0414 with SCP-0047, the box opens automatically on hinges. The volume of the space inside is precisely 5 times greater than the outer dimensions imply. Items placed within while the lid remains open do not affect the weight or any other properties of the box. When the lid is closed and locked, however, all items inside vanish irretrievably. Personnel locked inside the box are also irretrievable, although losing personnel in this fashion appears to affect significantly the dreams experienced by Data Expunged. This concludes SCP-004. The Skeleton Key, SCP-005. Object Class, Safe. Special Containment Procedures. The Skeleton Key poses no immediate risk in any direct sense. Even so, its unique functions require special measures to be taken to restrict access and manipulation of the object. Approval of at least one Level 4 personnel is required for the removal of the object from its containment area. Description: It appears the Skeleton Key resembles an ornate key, displaying the characteristics of a typical mass-produced key used in the 1920s. The key was discovered when a civilian used it to infiltrate a high-security facility. The Skeleton Key seems to have the unique ability to open any and all forms of lock, see Appendix A, be they mechanical or digital, with relative ease. The origin of this ability has yet to be determined. Additional notes: the Skeleton Key may be used as a replacement for lost security passes, but only under the supervision of at least one Level 4 personnel. The Skeleton Key may not be used for vending machine repairs, opening lockers, or for any personnel's spare home key. Removal of the object from the compound will result in immediate termination. Appendix A. While the Skeleton Key has been shown to be effective in removing almost any form of locking device, further experiments have shown that efforts to disguise the purpose or identity of a lock have proven at least somewhat successful in defeating the Skeleton Key's ability. In approximately 50% of cases where a volunteer was not able to identify a locked device as such, the Skeleton Key was not successful in deactivating the device. Due to these results, the Skeleton Key has been tentatively classified as sentient, and further tests are being run to determine its cognitive abilities. However, there are no results that show any traits that prevent it from being able to identify any particular locking device, only that the aforementioned device has been heavily concealed and disguised. This concludes SCP-005. The Fountain of Youth, SCP-006. Under direct orders of the Founder, access is limited to those with Overseer Clearance. Overseer Clearance granted. Object Class, Safe. Special Containment Procedures. Whereas the nature of SCP-006 does not warrant any extensive containment, a certain level of secrecy is necessary regarding the object's existence and properties, for obvious reasons. The following procedures are required not for personal safety, but to deny or hide knowledge of SCP-006 effects from the personnel who interact with it. Number 1. All personnel interacting with SCP-006 in any physical way are required to wear modified Class 6 BNC suits. Before personnel are allowed to perform procedures, they must be briefed with material SCP-006-B or SCP-006-C. SCP-006-A briefing is the correct one and is restricted to only those with O5 clearance. To assure personnel are wearing suits properly, they are to be submerged in water. Any air bubbles spotted signify a leak in the suit. Number 2. Procedures with SCP-006 are to be carried out with extreme surveillance. In case of contact with SCP-006, the commander in charge will announce procedure 006-11-12, which the personnel have been briefed to believe to mean high toxicity is present and they must evacuate. Number 3. Any procedures in which liquid is acquired from SCP-006 must be approved by 305 personnel. The liquid is to be transferred in a quad-sealant container, and under armed guards. Number 4. If at any time personnel come into contact with SCP-006 or liquid from SCP-006, they are to be confined and terminated after sufficient studies are done. Due to the nature of SCP-006, the most effective termination method is incineration. For full report, see file SCP-006-TER-05. Description: SCP-006 is a very small spring, located 60 kilometers west of Astrakhan. Foundation Command was aware of its existence since the 19th century, but were unable to secure it till 1991, due to political reasons. On the spot of the spring, a chemical factory has been constructed as a disguise, with the majority of laborers under Foundation and or Russian control. The liquid emitted from the spring has been chemically identified as simple mineral water in 1902, but has the unusual property of health. Ingesting the liquid produces the following properties in human beings: the ability to regenerate DNA damaged by sufficient duplication, heightened excitement of cellular duplication, vastly improved abilities in the repair of damaged tissue, and a frightening increase in the effectiveness of the human immune system. Upon testing the liquid on animal subjects, hostile bacteria and viral agents were destroyed immediately. Many reptiles and birds were unaffected, while higher primates experienced the same benefit as humans. This concludes SCP-006.
Amazing. Just amazing. You do have it in you. Even though they've tried, they can't kill you. Rest for now, and we'll show them our real endurance is yet to come.
I hope you enjoyed today's SCPs, listeners. I'm planning on giving you 5 days of this. My thanks to you for listening in the form of SCP packs. So stay tuned for more SCPs to come your way, and as always, if you have a friend of yours or a family member you want to distract, and they enjoy the strange and mysterious, send me to them and I'll ensure their days of boredom are over. Or at least, try. And on that note, it's that time, listeners. This is the place where stories live, and you telltellers come to listen. Enjoy your day or night, and join me every weekday for our creepy tradition. And as always, till next time.